Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Man, my iPad here is not giving me... Okay, there we go. That's the way I need it now. So we're in our series that we're calling Game Changer, and ultimately what that means to me is that we're going to be looking at some really short verses in the Bible over the next weeks as we move towards Easter to get us thinking about, if I were to believe this one little verse or these two little verses, if I were to actually believe that these are true and I were to apply them into my life, it would absolutely be a game changer for me, and it would change every aspect of who I am. It would change the way in which I go to work. It would change the way in which I live my life. It would change my marriage. It would change my parenting. It would change everything. If I were to look at just these two little verses, or this one little verse, or these three little verses, or whatever we engage with these next couple weeks, what if it's actually true? You know what I mean? Like, we sometimes engage large portions of Scripture, which is fine and totally fine. But what if this one little verse or this one little word, what if it was actually true? How would that change me? Would it change me? And so that's kind of what we're looking at. So the psalm that I want us to look at is from Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. And we're really going to only spend time with verses 1 and 2. But I want us to still look at all eight verses. Here's what the psalmist says. Now, the psalms are cool because you can find them really easy. You just open up to the middle of the Bible. And then don't look for an S, look for a P. Because the psalms start with a P. It's kind of weird. But Psalm 121, here's what it says. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Huh. I look up. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now, I'm not even preaching yet, but I just want to quick share. Maybe, potentially, the psalmist here with the switch of the nouns or the pronouns, potentially he begins to talk to himself in verse 3. We don't know exactly. You could kind of go a couple different ways. But it's potentially he begins to talk to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Like kind of talk yourself out of doing something stupid, or you kind of talk yourself into believing something to be true or something like that. There's a sense in which maybe that's what he's doing here. Or he's maybe talking to an assembly. But he says this: he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let's say a prayer, and then I'm going to dive in, okay? Father, thank you for this opportunity to share you, to point to you, to move our attention, to direct our attention, to direct our eyes to you this morning, to direct our ears to you this morning. May we hear from you, oh God. May this message be simply what you would have us hear, not a word more, not a word less. I pray, God, that Seth kind of would slowly disappear up here and we would see you. God, we're not here to hear from Seth. We're not here to hear little cutesy little thoughts that could help me out in life or something like, can you get me through this week? No. Look, we are here to hear from the Almighty God. And so this message, we surrender it to you. And I pray, God, that if you were to have me turn left, even though all week long I've been preparing to go right, God, then you'd have me turn left. Whatever you want us to just kind of look like these next minutes, Lord, just open up our ears, open up our hearts to hearing from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, have you ever had a time where you just needed help? When's the time you needed help? Go ahead, help me out. When did you need help? What? Moving. Okay, so you're moving, you're getting ready to move, and all of a sudden you got tons of boxes. and you're like, I need help. I need help moving. Yeah, I've been there. Other times you've needed help. Changing a tire, driving down the road. Pop. And, you know, you're never just like going out for a little joyride when your tire goes flat, right? Never. You're always 5 minutes late, and it just ruins your entire week. Yeah, you need help maybe. Maybe you don't have a jack. I'm trying to think if I've been in a situation. I feel like I have right now where, like, it's gone flat. You know what I think? I think I was in a situation where it went flat, put the spare on, and it was flat. You ever do that one? Yeah, that one blows. That blows. I think I've been there. I can't remember the exact, but yeah, that's good. What else? When did you need help? Childcare. Okay, and I don't know the situation, but yeah, I mean, we always need help, so. Good. No, but to go out on a date or something, yeah.
During illness.
An illness. All of a sudden you're like sick and you can't do some of the things you need, you know, usually you can just do. Exactly. What else?
Flood.
Oh, man, so many of you flooded. Exactly. All of a sudden you're going about your life, everything's good, and then floods come. Right? Your house never flooded before. You're in like a 375-year floodplain, and all of a sudden now you're flooding, and you're like, what the heck? And now, yeah, I need help. Maybe gutting the house out. What else? I saw some other hand. Yeah.
When I broke my arm.
When you broke your arm. All of a sudden you need somebody to feed you some cereal or something in the morning. Yeah. What else? Did I see another hand? Yeah. Building a fence. I needed some help building a fence. Boom. I need another guy. Whatever it might be, holding something. Anything else? Isn't it interesting? Okay, this first verse. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? Now, the psalmist, there's a couple different things that we don't know for sure what the psalmist is saying here. Either the psalmist is thinking about somebody who's probably going towards Jerusalem. Anybody go to Jerusalem ever? Anybody in Jerusalem? Okay, is Jerusalem up high, right? It's on a hill, is that correct? Okay, so Jerusalem's up. So either the psalmist is talking about somebody who's going towards Jerusalem, who's looking up and sees Jerusalem, which is where like the temple would be and stuff like that. Or it even could be flipped. It could be somebody going out of Jerusalem and kind of looking up at, you know, it's like the story of like going towards Jericho and stuff like that. The Good Samaritan guy, I think, was going towards Jericho in the Bible. And it could be something like actually scary, like, we just don't know if the hill is a safe place in his mind, the psalmist, or if it's actually a scary spot exactly. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I didn't come to a decision in my mind this week as I was prepping. I was like, I don't know. I partly don't care. But ultimately, he lifts up his eyes to some hill and he asks this question, where does my help come from? What's driving this question? Is it there's bandits in the hills or is there something behind him happening? And that could actually be true for our lives, right? It could be something behind us that's got us afraid or it could be something in front of us that's got us afraid. Isn't that true? How many of you think about that mistake you did 10 years ago and it keeps haunting you and it keeps haunting you and it keeps haunting you? Or how many of you know about the thing coming up in a couple of years or next week or tomorrow that's got you haunted or whatever it might be, right? Might be behind us, might be in front of us. We lift up our eyes and we ask the question, where does my help come from? Because here's what's up. We never ask for help. We never ask for help when life is just going smooth. Isn't that true? When life is going smooth, when we're just cruising along, when we're heading to McDonald's to just go through the drive-thru, we're not thinking, help, right? Because we know there's a McChicken on the other side of that, and it's just, life is good. Life is just cruising along. When do you ask for help? When do you feel like you need help? Well, it's sometime when all of a sudden something enters into your life that gets you off kilter, right? Something enters in that hadn't been there before, whether it's behind, whether it's front, whatever. Something enters into your mind or your life, whether it be water, whether it be a flat tire, whether it be a feeling, whatever it might be. Something enters in that hadn't been there just moments before, and you start to ask, help. I need help. I need help. We don't ask for help when life is, when we don't need it. There's never, you're never driving around, help! You've never done that. But when something's going on in your life, you've screamed, help! You've done that one before, maybe. Maybe it's at God in anger, whether it may, it could be lots of different things. You've asked for help. You've made the phone call. You've waved down the guy. Hey, I need your jack, man, to jack up my car, to put the tire on, just for my spare to be flat too. We're not walking around day to day. Most of the time, we're not yelling, help, help, help. Help, that happens when something enters in that we're not used to. It gets us off kilter. And when that happens, then what happens? Then we start to look. In my notes here, I'm kind of a picture guy. I like to draw pictures for my notes. I have an eyeball. That's my note for this part of the sermon. Eyeball. Look. We start to look for help somewhere. Right? We start to look. Oh, man. Okay, let me wave you down. Or hey, I got to call a babysitter. Or I need to call some people to help me move. Or whatever it might be. We start to look. And the psalmist here, I lift up my eyes to the hills. I start looking. I start wondering, where does my help come from? And when danger or problems or brokenness starts to enter into our lives, it's amazing what we will look to for help. It's amazing. You see, you never, a couple days ago, you never were like, help! I didn't see a single post. A couple days ago, I didn't see a single post that said, help! I need toilet paper! Didn't see a single post. Yesterday, did you cruise through Facebook a little bit? Help! I don't know. Yeah, that makes me nervous where people are posting this stuff. So it's always got me a little weird. But I'm kind of like, help! Right? Help! We need toilet paper! No, nobody's actually, you know, nobody's being serious about it. Unless you are, then I feel bad for you. We got a couple of rolls. We'll give you if you need one that bad. We'll hook you up. But help! I need toilet paper! Right? All of a sudden, you have something enter in. He hadn't needed toilet paper before because toilet paper was always at Walmart. But now something enters in where Walmart doesn't have it. Holy smokes. So my eyes start to look for help, right? And that's, of course, the start of my list here. And it's a funny one. Some of these aren't so funny. See, we start to look to hand sanitizer to be our savior. Yeah, that one's still kind of funny. But all of a sudden, we start to look to something, and I'm talking just virus here for a second, but we start to look for a savior from a scientist, or we start to look for a savior from a vaccine. We start to look for a savior to some of our issues and problems. We start to look to alcohol. Oh, now I get a little serious. We start to look to alcohol or drugs. We start to look to different addictions. We start to spend some more time on the computer clicking around. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And we look for help. We're looking for help. Or maybe it's consumerism. Maybe if I get enough stuff. This is Facebook Live. Sorry, Luke, if you're watching. I didn't get his permission to say this. But I'm only doing this because he's my family. But, no, I'm not going to do it. But it's just funny because of the stuff we'll sometimes consume. It was like this medicine that could, like, you know, say, and I don't think he even ended up buying it. But we were talking about how, like, there was this, you know, like, oh, man, you got to stockpile some of this medicine, you know, go underground. We all got to have bunkers kind of feel to it, right? And so we can start to feel like, well, if I just consume enough stuff, if I just have enough, that maybe then can save me. Or how many of you have really went out and bought something that you really didn't need, but it was consumerism these past couple days that made you just go buy something? Maybe it wasn't even food or anything. Maybe it was just your need to feel secure again. And the thing that makes you feel secure is walking through Walmart buying crap. It's amazing how many of us have that as an issue. Maybe it was Amazon. I just need to buy something. That's what I typically do in my life, and everything around me is out of control, but this thing I can control. So we go, click, okay, I got that thing coming at least. 2 days from now, Prime, I got Prime, baby. And we start to look to different things in our lives that we can make. Maybe it's sex. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Something can help me out of my discomfort and the problem. I look lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Maybe some person can fix this in me. Maybe it's somebody leaving my marriage that would seem to be my savior. Or how many of you are hoping somebody at work might catch the virus and die? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, all of a sudden you have a name flash through your mind though, don't you? Right? What might be our savior? What might be the things that we look to for help? Maybe education? Man, if I just got an education, if I just went back to school, that would help me the most. That's what I need the most. Maybe it's a scholarship. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's Bernie Sanders winning the election for you. Maybe it's Trump winning re-election for you. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Man, if only Bernie wins, then we're going to be okay. If only Trump re-wins, then we'll be okay. Is this what we're looking to for our help? Is this what you need to have happen to get your life back and stable? See, what's amazed me the most about this past couple weeks, this is the way I've been processing it. What's amazed me is how fragile humanity is. We are so fragile. And I'm not trying to poo-poo what's going on. I'm not, because it's serious. It's worldwide. I get that. But there is a sense in which it also is a virus that, yes, we don't know exactly what it does, all this kind of stuff, but there is a sense in which it's kind of like a cold, right? It's kind of like that. It's more serious than the common cold. I get that, but it's also kind of like a cold. And the whole world is just talking about it. Just notice that. Just notice how fragile we are. How quick we go to fear. How quick we go to lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Just notice that. We're like little egg carton. We're like this egg carton of just like, we could just break if we just get dropped a little bit. I mean, imagine if something were to come our way that was like, you know, half the world gets it, and if you get it, you die or something. Imagine something like that. But this comes through, and we just, oh man. And it's interesting. Because some of you, and I'm going to come after you here this morning, because some of you have this American attitude where you're like, yeah, those wimps that just kind of like get scared. See, I've seen a lot of posting where people actually, and it's funny because you don't even know you're doing this, but I see it. What you do, some of you, is you bash everybody else. You're like, those people who just go after everything, and they're just those bunch of idiots, morons. See, what are you doing? You're actually turning inside yourself and you're saying, I will find help in myself. That could be something you do. I'm not saying everybody, I don't know. But you actually, and this is the American trend. The American, our culture teaches you to trust in you. Our culture teaches you to man up, to be on your own, to do your own thing. And so what can start to happen is we can look to the hills and then all of a sudden we're like, well, actually I could just find help in myself. Some of you are doing that this past week. I don't know who you are. But we do that. But we're so fragile because I need help of some kind. Look at this. Look at this text from 1 Corinthians. Look at this text from 1 Corinthians. Let me see if I can quick find it. No, maybe it's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. Check this out. Look at this. Look at this. This is incredible. We have this treasure in jars of clay. What is this treasure? This treasure here is the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for you and for me. Saving us from those things that matter most. Sin, death, the power of the evil one. Like, salvation, eternal life for you and for me. We have this treasure, the treasure of God himself, dwelling inside of us in jars of clay, like fragile eggs, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way. Notice that there's going to be trials and tribulations, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. See, so often, what I'm hearing is, so often, and I'm not talking just the fire stuff, I actually want to get way deeper than the cold here. I want to get into your lives, I want to get into what's really going on in your lives, and I want to ask a question. See, sometimes we look at some of this and we ask a question like, why me, oh God? Why do I have to go through this? Some trial or some tribulation or some whatever it might be. But my dad recently, when he found out he had cancer, I loved hearing from him and what he said. He said something like this to me. He said, why not me? Sometimes we ask, why me? Why me? Why me? Well, hold on a second. Why not me? This text here, this is spoken to believers in Jesus. We're going to be in every way. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven, persecuted, but not... We're going to go through some stuff, folks. It's going to be hard. It's going to be some challenges that come our way. So the question, when we lift up our eyes to the hills, because we are kind of these fragile little egg things, we lift up, help us in some way, what are you going to go seek after? Because you're going to go looking for something. And it's going to be in another person who can maybe try to fulfill your needs. It's going to be in some addiction. It's going to be in consumerism. It's going to be in whatever your culture might be teaching at the time, whatever your family taught you at the time. Or maybe it even might be that you look to yourself and just man up and buck up and just get through it on your own. That's funny to me. That's funny to me. Wow. Okay, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Now, look at this. Look at what the psalmist says. Verse 2. My help comes. My help comes from the Lord. Yahweh. The maker of heaven and earth. The creator of the universe. Now, I want you to just think about, okay, remember that 2 Corinthians passage I just read to you? Remember that one? The verse right before what I read to you, I want to show you this. Verse 6. See, you didn't think I was going to come back. Just look at this. I want you to see this. So the psalmist says, my help is going to come from the Lord, who's the maker. And then look at 2 Corinthians here, the apostle Paul who's writing this. Verse 6, right before the jars of clay situation. He says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. Notice that that's the creation account. Let light shine out of darkness. The creator God, the creator of the universe, has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Man, that's incredible. The creator of the universe... The creator of the universe is the psalmist's help. Here Paul is saying, that same one who's created the universe has now come to shine in your hearts, to be in our lives, to be our help in the face of Jesus Christ. Guys, this is why we keep pointing to Jesus. If you ever hear a sermon or a message or something that doesn't point to Jesus, and what he has done for us, you need a new pastor. Because that's all I want to do every week is just keep pointing you to Jesus. He's the creator. He's the only one who can help us in our ultimate needs. My kind of main point, tweet this baby out. Here it is. The help we ultimately need only comes from Jesus. There it is. I mean, that's kind of my thought for the day. The help we ultimately need can only be provided to from Jesus because he's the creator. He's the eternal God. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He saves us through his death on the cross. He defeats death for us through his resurrection. And he promises to return one day to bring restoration and the new creation. That's incredible stuff. That's what we get to be part of. We join into the reality of that story. And he invites us in. And that's for each and every one of us. That's for all of us in the room today. That's for everybody out in this community. That's for that car right now going by. That's for that guy or gal. And that guy and that truck driver right there. That's for every person. Salvation. What we need the most. Don't get me wrong. I hope some of the other aspects of our life, that the flat tire gets fixed. I hope that the vaccine gets found. I hope that all sorts of that kind of stuff happens. Yes. But the ultimate needs that you and I have to be brought back into relationship with the God of the universe, to be at peace with God. Are you at peace with God today? Yeah. That only comes through Jesus Christ, who meets you in a meal like this, who meets you in your baptism, pouring grace upon grace upon grace, meeting you right where you are. I'm amazed by how quickly we consider temporary problems and bypass eternal ones. You see that? I'm amazed by how quickly we consider and stop to look to the hills for temporary problems, and we bypass eternal ones. There are so many people who just need a temporary fix to the temporary problem in their life. And we're so quick to help! But when we stop to consider eternal consequences, when we stop to consider anything eternal, we're just kind of like, yeah, we'll just kind of see how that goes. We'll just kind of, I don't know, we don't know. Can't prove it, so we'll just kind of see what happens. Do we need to give more time and thought to some of the eternal stuff, some of the eternal problems that you and I, honestly, we can't fix? And I could help Gary change a flat tire, but I can't save him from his sin. I can't look at Gary and be like, oh, Gary, don't worry. If you die, buddy, I'll be there to help you up. Nope. But that's what Jesus does. He comes to bring peace between us and God himself. For you and for me. For the whole world. Ultimately, we just keep looking to Jesus. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, we are so quick to consider temporary problems. Today, as we spent some time thinking about, and just briefly, we didn't spend a lot of time here, Lord, but just briefly spending some time thinking about some eternal stuff, I thank you, God, that you don't just leave us hanging. Thank you, God, that you don't just leave us to figure it out. Hope you guys can put her together. No, God, you came. You came to save us. You came to help us. And as that rest of that psalm unfolds, Lord, I just thank you for all of its promises. You don't sleep. You don't sleep. You don't slumber. You're going to keep watching us and you're going to keep going with us. And you're going to keep stand dwelling with us. God, I think of those who maybe this morning just are hearing for the first time how much you love them and care about them. God, give them the courage by the power of your Holy Spirit to keep moving forward in that. Continue to pursue that. God, there's still questions that I have. Still trying to figure so many different things out. And we're going to keep pursuing you, Jesus. Keep revealing to us what you'd have us see and know and hear. I thank you that there really is no question, though, around our sin. We are fragile. We are broken. And we're in need. We're in need of you. There's no question there. There's no like, oh, give me a little more clarity. No, it's that clear that we find that in you, Jesus, and what you have done for us. Holy Spirit, open us up to that. Remind us of that. Help us to be able to, maybe like the psalmist who starts to kind of talk to himself, reminding himself just how awesome you are. Help us to do that, to remind each other and to sometimes remind ourselves of our baptisms, what you've done for us there, of your promises, what you promised to us. God, may we be driven into your word. May your Spirit just continue to reveal those things and continue to open us up to hear from you. God, I pray this morning for those who aren't here with us, maybe watching on live stream, I pray a hand of blessing upon them. Keep them safe from getting any kind of virus or anything. All of us, Lord, protect us from that in Jesus' name. God, we pray for our world. We pray for those in other countries. I'm thinking of like Italy right now, I think, is where there just seems to be a lot of stuff going on there. God, I pray for those who are, I pray for, God, those who are alone, who don't have people. Like, I think of people in our nursing homes, God, who are really afraid. For our elderly, who are maybe more susceptible to some of this, I pray for protection over them, God. Keep them safe. God, I pray against this virus stuff. I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring, clear the air, get it kind of gone, or give some scientist, God, insight into figuring out a vaccine, or I don't know, however you want to work it, God, but please, God, bring about some healing. In Jesus' name, I pray against the fear that's, I know in my own heart, like, Lord, just even the oh man, maybe we just start stockpiling everything. No. God, I pray this morning that you would help us to be salt and light, like we would say on any Sunday. But remind us that we're not called to cease to do that. We can continue to do that. So give us the courage to pick up the phone and make some phone calls or reach out to a neighbor or whatever it might be. Lord, and then for that, just those eternal needs, just continue to work in us, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you have saved us. Thank you that you've saved us. You're our Lord. You're our help. You are, Jesus, where our help comes from. Just keep looking to you. Deepen our roots of our heart into that. Let those roots go deeper in our children. Help it just keep going in deep down into the very being of their soul so that we might just continue that song, "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." Even when we're persecuted, even when we're under, it is well with my soul. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may He bless you and keep you. May He lift up His face upon you. May He smile upon you and give you His peace this next week. May He give you peace. In His name, amen. Have a great week, y'all. You're awesome. Booyah.